appreciative of the wonderful pastoral staff that we have. Well, for many of us these past few weeks, for the first time in our lives, we've had a little taste of what it means to be quarantined. Whether that's working from home or taking classes from home, or suddenly you were homeschooling the kids or whatever, you couldn't go to a restaurant, couldn't go to a barber shop or a beauty shop or whatever. You've just kind of been shut in and away from everybody. And what we've discovered is a few weeks of that was about all we could handle, right? But imagine if you were living under quarantine for years. Just imagine what that would do to you if you were isolated and shut in. Not everyone under a quarantine, mind you, just you, isolated and cut off from everyone else. They put that on the Facebook last night, come to Carbondale, and the sermon was 12-year quarantine, and somebody who's here in the service responded like, that's freaking me out. I don't know if I want to hear that sermon. So this is not a prophetic word of anything to come, all right? Don't want anybody panicking here or whatever. This is a word of hope. But that's what that happened to a lady in the New Testament, and you can find her story in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to look at Mark's account in Mark chapter 5, the story of a lady who had been in quarantine for 12 years. So what's happened here, Jesus has been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and cast a demon out of a man or whatever that we know as Legion, had come back to the other side of the sea, probably back to Capernaum, to his adopted hometown on kind of the northwest shore. And when he gets there, a leader, one of the synagogue leaders or whatever, named Jairus, kind of the president of the synagogue, came to him and said, my daughter's sick and about to die. You've got to come and pray for my daughter. So they begin making their way to Jairus' house when another woman, a woman who was supposed to be quarantined, a woman comes through the crowd and has an encounter with Jesus. And so beginning in the end of verse 24, it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Well, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? In other words, how are we supposed to know everybody's touching you? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. We don't know her name. We don't know her age. We don't know if she had family. We don't know if she was single or married. But we do know that she'd been sick for 12 years. And because of her particular health problem, we know that she would have been placed in an ongoing state of quarantine, isolated from everyone. She apparently had some kind of uterine bleeding that had been going on for 12 years, and that meant, according to the law of Moses, the Jewish law, that she was ceremonially or ritually unclean. So in the book of Leviticus, it tells us what to do about this. So the law in Leviticus stated, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge. Any bed she lies on will be unclean. Anything she sits on will be unclean. Whoever touches those things or touches her will be unclean. And he must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he'll be unclean until evening. So according to the law and traditions of Judaism, anything and anyone that this woman touched would be considered unclean and would have to be washed. So if it was bed clothing, it would have to be washed every day. Remember, we're not just tossing that in the washing machine and then into the dryer and then remaking the bed. It's a whole other process. The same thing with anything she sat on, then it was unclean. If she touched another person, in fact, they tell me that the Orthodox men were very, very careful to be in a crowd. They didn't want to bump into anyone, a woman, because there was no way of knowing whether it might be during her monthly period. And if they touched or bumped into her, then they would be ritually unclean, would have to go to a mikveh to bathe, and then would not be able to go to the temple until the next day or until after evening. So a lot of restrictions there. So if, again, anything that she touched was made unclean. It was kind of, she was actually, it was kind of an early example of social distancing, all right? She was supposed to be 6 feet away from everybody. Too soon for that, I guess. So anyway, touchy subject, but that was the deal. So she's isolated from everyone and from everything, essentially quarantined for these 12 years. If she was single when this condition began, she would have to remain single. If it began after she was married, it would be grounds for divorce. Because of the nature of this, she would be unable to have children. Children were considered a blessing from the Lord. Barrenness was always a problem. It was always considered a curse of some kind or another upon a person. And so the fact that she was unable to have children in her culture would have been seen as something sad. So any way you look at it, this condition had adversely impacted every aspect of her life. Mark tells us that she had suffered a great deal under the care of the physicians. He's not implying that the doctors were cruel or charlatans or unethical in any way. He's simply stating a fact that the treatments prescribed in the ancient world were painful, may have inflicted additional pain or suffering. Luke, who himself was a physician, in his gospel, he says of her that no one could heal her. It was just, they're just saying it was an impossible medical situation. It was hopeless. And in addition to being quarantined and isolated and alone, and in addition to suffering physically every day for 12 years, then Mark also tells us that she had spent all that she had. So not only was she sick, and not only was she alone, people couldn't be around her, couldn't come visit, couldn't sit down anywhere she had been, all those things, but she was now broke. She was destitute. She'd spent all she had. So we can relate to this woman, her situation. Nobody could come visit her. She was shut in. She was isolated. She's run out of money. All these things. Sick, broke, tired, couldn't work, couldn't be around people, couldn't shop, couldn't go to the synagogue, totally isolated and alone. And by the standards of the Jewish law and in the eyes of the people in her town, she was unclean. And can you just consider for a minute what 12 years of that would do for you? You can already relate to what a couple of 3 months of not being able to get out and go places or see the grandkids or see your mom or your grandma in the nursing home and you're having to talk through a window and all that kind of stuff. Then you've got a little sense of what this lady's life was like. You can't touch me. You can't come in the room. You can't come in the house. Don't sit there. All those restrictions or whatever. That's what this lady was experiencing for 12 years. And imagine then how you would begin to regard yourself if everyone else considered you unclean, unfit, impure. You begin to think, I'm just less than. I mean, right? How do you feel about yourself? Well, not very good. Not if you realize that you, your touch defiles another person, right? So your sense of worth and value has got to be, you know, way, way down there somewhere. She was to use another medical term, she'd become a social leper. She had to be thinking, I'm nothing, nobody would want me, nobody can be around me, I must be cursed. I mean, it's just, how bad could it be? And Mark says instead of getting better, she grew worse. So there was another decline that was happening over these 12 years. It was just a steady decline, and I think she's coming to the tipping point of this. Out of money, out of options, and out of time. 12 years of sickness and quarantine was just too much. It's hopeless, and it's getting worse day by day. But then she hears a group of people outside in the street talking about a man named Jesus. And I love verse 27. It says, when she heard about Jesus. Is that just the sweetest phrase? For a lady who's quarantined and alone and sick and dying and feeling hopeless, and when she heard about Jesus. I love that. When she heard about Jesus, things began to change, and she started to hope again. When she heard about Jesus, she decided that he was the answer and that it was worth the risk and the sacrifice to get to Jesus. Maybe she thought, maybe if I just blend in with the crowd, nobody will notice, nobody will call me out, nobody will spot me and say, well, hey, you're not supposed to be here, you're unclean, you're breaking quarantine. And faith began to arise in her heart, and she thought, based on what I've heard, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch his clothing, I won't touch him, if I could just reach out and touch his garment, I'll be healed. And friends, I don't know what you've heard about Jesus today, but it matters. I don't know what you've heard about him. Maybe you've heard he doesn't care for people like you. Maybe you've heard that he couldn't love someone with a past like yours. He couldn't love someone that's done what you've done or that's lived the way you lived. He couldn't love somebody that's been in some of the places you've been. Maybe you heard that he's come to condemn people like you. Maybe you've heard that he put the earth in place and spun it into existence, spoke it into existence, and he's just watching from heaven, and he doesn't really intervene much in the lives of his people. He doesn't really mess with people much anymore. You're just kind of on your own, and God just said, well, good luck out there. Let's see how this turns out. Or maybe you read on social media that Jesus doesn't love everybody. You know, I read, he doesn't love Democrats, or maybe it was Republicans that he doesn't love, or maybe it was the Muslims he doesn't love, or the socialists, or the communists, or maybe you just heard he doesn't love other races or colors other than your own, or that he hates gays and lesbians, or people whose lives are messy, or broken, or messed up, or people with too many marriages and too many divorces, or people whose lives are just too confusing and spinning out of control. You heard that Jesus wouldn't ever want to be around somebody like you, and that may be what you heard, and it may be what somebody told you, but it's not what the Bible says. It's not what this woman heard. Yeah, you can applaud that. It's not what this woman heard in Mark 5 when she heard about Jesus. Let me tell you what she heard. She heard that he had come to save sinners just like her, that it was the sick that needed a physician and perfect because she was sick and he was a healer. She heard that the sick and the broken, that he came to heal them and to mend broken hearts and broken lives. She heard he was good and that he was merciful, that he was a healer and a miracle worker, and that nobody was too broken and no life was too messy and no circumstances were beyond his reach and nothing was too hard for him. She heard there was something about Jesus that meant that anyone could come to him, regardless of their past, regardless of their color, regardless of their socioeconomic status, whether they were rich or whether they were poor, whether they were gay or straight or whatever, anybody could come to Jesus and find that he wouldn't turn them away. Instead, if they would believe on him and ask him, he would save them and forgive their sins and change them and give them hope and eternal life. Friends, Jesus came to save us, not to condemn us. And now you can choose to reject him. You can choose to ignore him and his offer of salvation. You can choose to go to hell by rejecting that forgiveness and salvation. But I'm telling you, he doesn't want that to happen. We just learned the memory verse from Peter. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. He's come to save you and to change you. He's come to make you whole again. He's come to take the poison and the stain of sin out of your soul and out of your heart and out of your life and out of your family. He's come to transform you and give you hope and a brand new life. Understand, he didn't come to leave you the way he found you. You see, it's not just like, oh, I know Jesus loves everybody, so I can live any way I want to and act any way I want to, and he's still going to love me. He's still going to love you, but he came to save you. He came to transform you. He came to make you the person that he created you to be. He came so that your life would have purpose and fulfillment. He came that you could be born again and have eternal life. He didn't come to leave you the way he found you. He came to make you whole again, to put the pieces of a broken life back together, a new life. Listen, I'm glad she didn't listen to the Pharisees. They would have told her that Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with an unclean, unfit woman like her. I'm kind of glad that she didn't listen to the disciples, because probably if she had tried to make an appointment, they would have said, we've heard about you and you're unclean and I'm afraid you won't be able to see him, and we haven't invented visits yet or whatever. So until we can have a Zoom call with you, I'm afraid you have to move to the back of the line. Maybe we ought to ask, not only what have you heard about Jesus, but what have people heard about Jesus from you? What have people learned about Jesus from you? From the way you've treated others, from your relationship, from the way you live, the way you act. What have people heard about Jesus from your social media page, right? What have they learned from your actions, from your conversation, from your attitude? What have they heard about Jesus? What kind of opinion have they formed about Jesus based on the Christian that you've been? Oh, come on. Preaching to somebody this morning, right? I remember my dad used to have a little plaque that said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? If all somebody could know about Jesus was based on what they knew about you, a Christ follower, what are they going to think about Jesus? What's their opinion about Jesus? That, well, it's probably not for me, or he's pretty angry, or he spends a lot of time taking names and looking for somebody to take after. I saw some little meme the other day that said, Jesus said, I'm here to heal lepers and to whip hypocrites, and I'm all out of lepers. And so, what have you heard about Jesus? What have others learned about Jesus? Boy, I've preached myself under conviction. If you're the only Bible somebody's going to read, what have they heard about Jesus by listening to you? When this lady heard about Jesus, I think she said, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care who sees me in this crowd. I don't care what this is going to cost me or what I'll have to sacrifice. I'm going to get to Jesus. You see, what she realized was, I'm one touch away from a miracle. I'm one touch away from a new life. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. So we don't know what she did. Perhaps she wrapped a scarf around her head or pulled a garment up, maybe had a hoodie or something. I don't know. But she was just hoping no one would recognize her. And then she moved silently through that crowd. Mark says she came up behind him and gently reached out to touch what Mark in the NIV called his cloak, and what the King James Version refers to as the hem of his garment. We used to sing a chorus, if you're as old as I am, for I have touched the hem of his garment and his blood has made me whole, whatever. That's where we got that phrase, the hem of his garment. It's just the edge of his coat. But the word they translate as hem, H-E-M, means tassel or fringe. And it's very likely, in fact, it's certain, that Jesus wore a prayer shawl known as a tallit with tassels on the four corners of this garment that are known as tzitzit. It's this Hebrew word for this fringe or whatever. And there's specific ways it was to be tied and done. There was a blue cord wrapped around it. You can read about it in the Law of Moses there. But so what the woman was reaching out to touch was not just the edge of his jacket, but it was actually the tassel on that prayer shawl, just the thread that was hanging down there. I got to tell you, some of you may feel like you're just hanging on by a thread. And if that's the case, I've got good news for you, because you can hang on to the thread, to the tassel, to the fringe of his prayer shawl. If you hold on to that one thread, that one tassel of Jesus, that's all you're going to need. That's what this woman decided. If I can just touch one thread, one tassel of his prayer shawl, I'll be healed. And with her faith in Jesus as healer, she reached beyond the crowd and put her hand on the tassel on his garment. And the Bible says, and immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. One touch, one encounter with Jesus makes all the difference. And you may be just one touch and one tassel away from a miracle today. She had hoped to just slip in and slip out of the crowd unnoticed. It's like some church people that just hope to remain anonymous. You know, it's like, who are those people? I don't know. They get in and they get in after we start and leave before it's over. I've never spoken to them. I worked at another church one time, and years and years and years ago, when there was a couple of miles all the time there, I never met them. I never got any closer than about 40 feet to them because they came in late and left early and never was able to track them down somehow or another. Anyway, thank you for hanging around. Of course, we're going to shoo you right out of the building and out in the parking lot, but at least I can see you. I know you're in. Now, the rest of you, you're on your own, those that are watching from home. But so maybe she just thought, I'll slip in and slip out. But Jesus had another idea. And at once, the Bible says, Jesus realized that power, I think some King James maybe says virtue had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my garment? The disciples said, Jesus, you're asking who touched you? Everybody's trying to touch you. Look, everybody's bumping into you. There's a throng of people around here. It could have been anyone. But Jesus knew that someone had done more than bump into him. Someone had touched him with faith. Someone was desperate that day and had activated their faith, had reached out in faith to touch him. Someone had placed absolute trust in him and had received healing from him that day. And trembling with fear, the Bible says, the woman comes forward. She knew she wasn't to be in the crowd in her condition. She knew she wasn't supposed to touch anyone, certainly not purposefully. And I'm sure she's expecting what she had received before over the last 12 years, a rebuke or condemnation or an order to go home and stay home. I mean, think about it. She's been uncleaned and quarantined, ostracized for 12 years. What else could she expect? But as she comes and kneels down and begins to pour out her story to Jesus, he looks at her with compassion and says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I love that he called her daughter. Daughter. I don't know how old she was. Surely if she'd been an older lady, he would have called her mother. And I think she must have been a young lady. And she had her whole life and her future ahead of her. Maybe in her 20s or something. Maybe this had happened from the time when she reached puberty and this began and had never cleared up. Just a young lady. I don't know. Maybe she's in her 30s. We don't know. It's all speculation. But Jesus looks at her and says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. It's interesting to me because this is the only time we know of that Jesus spoke directly to a woman, not a little girl, but a woman, and referred to her as daughter. It was a term, a tender term, a term of affection. And I can't help but think that it had probably been a long time for this lady who had lived in isolation for 12 years. It had been a long time since anyone had spoken to her with that kind of kindness and tenderness. And in this story, Jairus, the synagogue leader, was kind of tugging at Jesus in a different way. Come on, we've got to get to the house. My daughter's going to die. Come on, my daughter's going to die. Come on, you've got to get there. But Jesus knew this lady was somebody's daughter too. And she was just as important, and he had time for her. And can you imagine what was happening to this woman? Not only her physical healing was taking place, but imagine the emotional healing that was occurring, the restoration of her worth and value as a person as Jesus speaks to her and calls her daughter. I think it's why he called her out in front of everyone. I mean, she was hoping, look, I just want to get in and get out. But here's the deal. It wasn't enough for her to be privately, secretly healed, because everybody in town needed to know there was more to it than this. Jesus wanted to restore her. He wanted them to know that she was completely whole. He wanted to restore her sense of value and worth by letting everyone in town know she's no longer impure, no longer unclean. She's healed. She's whole. Now you can visit her. Now she can be around you and you don't have to be afraid. And so he restores her publicly in front of everyone. Daughter, you're well, you're whole, be free from this condition. You may have been isolated and quarantined and rejected and suffering alone for 12 years, but it's as though Jesus says, but today, daughter, I claim you as my own. I claim you as my own. Your faith has made you whole. You believed and trusted in me. Now you're well. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. And everything she had heard about Jesus came true for her that day. He was a healer. He was a redeemer. He was one that restored and gave her life and gave her hope and gave her health and gave her a life again. Hallelujah. Understand, she wasn't just freed from physical pain that day. Jesus gave this woman her life back. Everything changed the moment she reached out to him and touched him. Physically, she's well. Psychologically, a transformation occurs. No longer unclean. Now Jesus himself called me a daughter. Now I'm a child of God, an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. Now I've got hope. Now I've got life. Now I can get a job. I can work. Now my finances are going to change. Now I could be married. Now my relationships can be healed. Everything changes when we come to Jesus. And so let me ask you this morning, do you need a touch from Jesus today? Are you isolated and alone and feeling desperate? Are you broke? Are you broken? Are you sick? Are you hopeless? Well, let me ask you again, what have you heard about Jesus? Because I can tell you, he's beyond anything you can think of. He can do beyond what you can imagine or what you can pray for. It hadn't even entered into our heart and mind what he's able to do. All power belongs to him. He's a healer. What have you heard about him? What do you believe about him today? Do you believe that he loves you? Do you believe that he's not willing that any should perish? Do you believe that it's even for you, in spite of your past or in spite of the doctor's report, in spite of the hopelessness of the condition or the situation? What do you believe about Jesus? What have you heard and what did you believe? Do you believe that he's able to heal you? Do you believe that he's able to save you? Do you believe he's able to deliver you? Do you believe he's able to save your son or your daughter? Do you believe he's able to pull someone out of addiction and just the brokenness of their life? Do you believe he's able to do this? Do you believe he has the power to make you whole and to free you from your suffering? Because if you believe, it can happen. I suggest, if that's the case, that you just do what this woman did in Mark 5. You just reach out to him in faith. You just come to him in faith. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to reach out to the Lord in faith. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I need you. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your past was. Doesn't matter. Ex-con, ex-this, ex-that. Doesn't matter. You reach out to him in faith. Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, save me. Doesn't matter your condition. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, give me life. Jesus, help me today. And he'll do that. Maybe you're thinking, well, I know he healed the woman in Mark 5, but that was just for her, right? That's just one unique situation. I don't think he'd want to heal or help or deliver someone like me. And in case that's what you're thinking, that it's just for one and no more, turn the page and look at Mark chapter 6, because in verse 56 it says, and they carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, town, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, even the hem of his garment, even that tzitzit, that tassel. And all who touched him were healed. Friends, it's not just for one. It's not just for a lady in Mark 5. It's not just for one or two or three. It's for all who will believe and who will reach out to him in faith to touch him. So I say it again, what have you heard about Jesus? Because let me tell you what I've heard. I've heard he's faithful and he's good and he's merciful. I heard he was nice, right? I heard he was nice. I heard he was loving. I heard he was able to forgive. I heard he was able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. I heard he was the Lord, the God of all flesh, and nothing was too difficult for him. I heard that he could change the whatever the circumstances. He could open blinded eyes. He could restore hope and life to people. Listen, I've heard and I've witnessed and I've seen, and I know what I know this morning. If we'll reach out in faith, he's there to help us. He's faithful. He's good. He's merciful. He's a healer, a miracle worker, and he's here today if we'll trust him and look to him in faith and call on his name. So, Lord, we call upon you today. We're turning our hearts and our face to you, Lord. We're going to do in faith today what that woman did in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to reach out to you. And though you're not walking through this crowd today, not walking through this building, and we've got physical, literal access to be able to reach out and to touch the prayer shawl that you're wearing, but in a spiritual sense and by faith today, we reach out to you, Lord Jesus. We reach out in faith, and we find that you've got time for us, and that you've got a plan for us, and that you've got healing for us. And you're here to rescue us, and you're here to give us hope and a future. You're here to help us if we call upon you today. And so we choose to do that, Lord. We reach out in faith. Some need forgiveness, and so we reach out in faith to a Savior. Jesus, We ask you to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. Take away the sin. Take away the addiction. Take away all this burden that we've carried, Lord, and grant us life, a new life in Christ. Some of us are broken in our personality. Things are so distorted. We're so confused about who we are. And it's all just broken and messed up, Lord. Our sexuality's broken. Our personality's broken. Lord, make us whole again. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Show us who you've called us to be and made us to be. Restore, Lord. Restore to us what's been broken by sin. Oh, God, come and help us. Some of us, our relationships are messed up. Lord, we're engaged in things that we shouldn't be a part of. Maybe there's addiction, Lord. Oh, God, set us free today. We're looking to you, Lord. We're reaching out to you in faith. And we believe, Lord, that if we touch you in faith, then you'll respond out of your grace and out of your mercy, and you'll help us today. We call upon you, Lord. Come and restore and heal us and help us today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being with us today, Lord. There's an old chorus we used to sing years ago that says, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to answer your cry. Ask PJ if he could play that song this morning. I want us to just sing that old chorus for a minute, and then we're going to pray specifically for some folk here and folks at home. But would you sing that?
As he goes by, you will find he's not too busy to answer your cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Let's sing it again.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to answer your cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
If you're here this morning in the house and you need a touch from Jesus, you need healing, or you need a miracle, you need financial provision, there's something that you're just reaching out to him in faith, I want you to just stand right where you are. Just stand to your feet, because we're going to pray for you this morning. You need a miracle. You need a touch from Jesus to make the difference in your life or in your circumstances. Just stand to your feet where you are. You're watching from home or somewhere else, you need a miracle. If you're on Facebook, just type in, I'm standing, and we'll know there's somebody that's monitoring that right now. They'll pray for you. But we're going to agree together this morning. Those who are here, we're going to agree with you that are watching for healing, for a miracle in your life and in your circumstances. We're going to believe that as we stand in faith, that we're going to have that encounter, just like the woman in Mark 5 had, that we're going to know that something changes on the inside of us, physically, spiritually, whatever it is, but we're going to have an encounter with Jesus as we pray together. You that are in the house, look around. If there's somebody near you, just stretch a hand toward them, but let's pray together this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, for those who are standing in this sanctuary this morning, and for those who are watching online from somewhere else, and they're by faith standing as well, they're saying, Lord, we're reaching out to you today. We need what only you can bring, Lord, a healing in our body, a healing in a relationship, a healing in a marriage, healing for our finances, whatever it is, Lord. We reach out our faith to you. It may be, Lord, we feel like emotionally that we're just hanging on by a thread. But Lord, would you change our image of that this morning to realize that the thread we're holding on to is the one attached to your prayer shawl. That we're holding on to the thread of that prayer garment today. We're holding on to Jesus. And you're going to see us through this storm that we're in. And you're going to bring us to a place of restoration. You're going to bring us to victory. You're going to bring us to new health. You're going to bring us to a place of peace. You're going to bring us out of the darkness and into the dawn. You're going to work a miracle in our life and in our circumstances. Lord, we claim it in faith today that as we reach out to you, the need is met. I believe you to do it today. I believe you for a supernatural miracle. I believe you, Lord, somebody, there's a healing that's taking place, Lord. Let it be in the name of Jesus, Lord. Work a miracle in somebody's body today. Lord, let that stomach pain be gone. Let that liver be healed. Bladder cancer to go. A kidney to be restored. That knee to be back in place. Those tendons to be healed, Lord. Let their physical body come into alignment with the plan and purpose of God. Let healing take place in their bodies and in their lives. Lord, I pray for deliverance from depression, from anxiety and fear. I pray that there's peace that surrounds them, Lord. Just wrap them up in your arms of peace, Lord. Let there be that confident assurance that they can rest in you. Restore, Lord, what the enemy's tried to steal, restore to the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, that all who reach out to you in faith, I believe you to touch them and to make the difference, Lord. I trust you for that today. I believe today, Lord, that as we look to you, you're going to make the crooked path straight. Lord, you're going to lift somebody up. They feel like they're just down. They're down in a ditch somewhere. You're going to lift them out of that pit, out of that ditch, and put them on a solid footing again, Lord. You're going to reestablish them, Lord. There's a path that's opening up. It's like they're coming to the end of a forest, and they're going to come out into a wide area, Lord, a new plateau. You're going to have green pastures and still water. You're bringing them to a place of blessing, Lord. And though the circumstances may be difficult for some, Lord, I just believe you're restoring peace to somebody's heart. Lord, you're going to call them forth, and instead of they're fearful that you're going to expose something, instead, Lord, you're going to just wrap them with a covering of grace and mercy and healing, and you're just going to let others know that this is your daughter, this is your son, there's favor and blessing upon their life. Lord, I trust you to do it today, that you will grant your healing and your help in Jesus' mighty name. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Can we just give the Lord thanks today? Lord, I thank you that you're still moving, that you're still moving among us, that you're still a healer, that you still provide, you still meet our needs when we look to you, that, Lord, if we'll reach out in faith, you're still there to help us and to see us through. Lord, we receive from your hand every good and perfect gift. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. Thank you, Lord, for the hope and the help that you bring to us today. Lord, we may have been in quarantine, but there's a healer, there's a provider, and there's victory for the child of God as we put our hope and trust in you in Jesus' mighty name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen and amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for watching us and joining us. May the Lord's grace and blessing be on you. Be safe, and we'll see you next Sunday. Amen. Amen.
Hello, Carbondale family. We hope that you were able to participate in our services either online or in person on Sunday. I want to just give you quickly some announcements for the week, namely that this Wednesday, July 1st, there will be no services, so no in-person youth service and no online services for our adults. Because of the 4th of July holiday, we've given our full staff the week off to enjoy with their family, so no Wednesday night services. But next Sunday, July 5th, we'll begin offering two family-friendly services. So at 9 or 10:45, online or in person, Pastor Brittany will have a special moment of teaching for the kids in each of those services. We hope that you'll continue to engage in service with your family, again, either online at 9 or 10:45 or in person at 9 or 10:45. Don't forget that there are still spaces for our Carbondale Youth Camp. To find out more information about Youth Camp, go to cagtulsa.com/events to get all of the information, dates, speakers, costs, activities. It's going to be a great week. We hope that you have a great week this week and a great 4th of July. Stay safe, stay well, and we look forward to seeing you online or in person next Sunday.